your hand this way. I want you to pray. God, anoint him afresh that we may hear from heaven. God, have his way. As we exalt Jesus Christ, he would draw all men unto us.
Thank you, brother.
Heavenly Father, we do bless your holy name. We give you glory, honor, and praise for all you have done. We do worship you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord Jesus.
Lead us.
Thou alone, Lord, art worthy of.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Why don't we raise our hands and thank him in advance for what he's going to do tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, in advance, we give you glory and honor. Oh, God, I thank you. God, we can't do it without you. God, we can't do it without you. We've got to have you, and we thank you in advance for what you're going to do, for meeting with us already. God, we thank you in advance. How many knows we got to have the Lord? In him we live and move and have our being. He plainly said, without me ye can do nothing. How much can we do without him? Nothing. I don't even want to try. I don't even want to try to do it without him. I already know that I can't. I already know that it's impossible. It's just not going to happen without him. So I want to make sure that I let him know, and he knows my heart, but I want to tell him. I don't even want to try without him. I don't even want to try without the Lord. I've got to have him. I appreciate what the Lord is doing for us. And you can go ahead and grab your Bibles, and we'll be going to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32. But I appreciate what the Lord is doing for us already in this meeting. And I'm really, really praying, and I know you are, but I'm just really longing for God to pour out his Spirit on us in a powerful way. And when he does it, where we'll just step back and say, that was God. That's God. That was God. That's what I long for. And I'm here with a longing to see that. And brother Glenn mentioned that, you know, we don't know each other well, and I think we've talked twice since last year, and that's been in the last 2 weeks. He called just check on me, and then I called him back, I think, Saturday, and let him know when I'd be arriving. And I don't talk on the phone a lot to anybody, just to be quite frank, but I don't know you well, and I know you don't know me, but we all know the Lord, and I can tell you my desire is to just be a channel. That's all I want to be, is a channel, and I want to see you helped as a conference or fellowship, as a group of churches. We need the Lord, don't we? We need the Lord. And I'm not here to preach at you. I'm here to preach for you. That's my desire. And I appreciated the preaching that we heard this morning, the teaching of the Word of God from Brother Joey Yates. And it was just wonderful. And then the challenge that came through the Word of God for us to go ye. Get out there and get busy winning the lost and reaching the lost. I tell you, folks, we're running out of time. I fully believe that it's possible I may not complete my next sentence. I may not complete this message. Never get to an altar service. Jesus is coming, isn't he? Jesus is coming. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse number 36. And then I'm also going to read a very familiar passage of Scripture out of the book of Luke. But first, Deuteronomy chapter 32. And verse number 36, for the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he seeth that their power is gone, and there is none shut up or left. Now let's look into Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 and verse number 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Back to Deuteronomy, there's a phrase I want to bring to your attention, and it's simply, he spoke the words, when he seeth that their power is gone. When he seeth that their power is gone. When power is gone. You can be seated. Of all the things that Christ promised the church before he ascended, there was nothing any more important than the promise concerning the power that was to come as a result of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I read it just moments ago. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And this power was to cover every activity of their Christian life as well as ours. From the Pentecost to the grave or the rapture, whichever took place. That power was to cover every activity. And I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, it's the same in our life. We need to have that personal Pentecost, and we need to make sure that that experience is maintained and kept up to date until Jesus comes or we go by the way of the grave. We need that Pentecostal power. We need to have power with God and power with man. We need to have power for service. We need to have power in His service. We need to have power in prayer. We need to have power in our singing. We need to have power in our preaching. We need to have power over sin. We need to have power to resist temptation. We need to have power to stand fast. We need to have power to suffer and to endure all things for Christ's sake. We need the power of God in our lives. And I believe that God is concerned about His people keeping this enduing Holy Ghost, God-sent power. For He knows how helpless we are without His power in our life. He knows that we must have this power. That's why He sent the Holy Ghost to the church in the first place, is so that you and I could receive this power from on high. He knows that we're helpless without it. So much that He promises to defend them and to be their power when He sees that their power is lost. In fact, according to Deuteronomy, He even promised to repent for them and to charge Himself with the loss of this power. And then He promises to restore even more power in the end than He had given them in the beginning. What a God we serve. What a God of love. What a God of compassion. What a God of concern for His people, that gives them the assurance when they realize that the chips are down, He's not going to leave them as a people without the necessary power to face the hour that they are living in, but He assures them that when it's all said and done and they recognize our power is gone and there is none shut up or left, God says that's when I'll move, that's when I'll step on the scene. That's when I'll come to the rescue. I tell you, my brothers and sisters, when I recognized what God was saying to His people way back in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse number 36, It really touched my heart. And here's the gist of what has taken place to the people of God. You see, the children of Israel had forsaken God. They had become full. They had gotten plenty of everything. They had been blessed from a material standpoint. And they got to the place where they felt like that they had achieved their success simply by the arm of flesh. Prosperity was flooding the land. The people became comfortable. They became self-supportive. They became self-sufficient. They began to feel that they were wise and knowledgeable enough to control their own economy and their prosperity, because after all, it was flooding the nation. And it got to the place to where their self-sufficiency and their own pride had caused them to forget about God. They failed to realize that all of their blessings were actually flowing down. It was all coming from God. But they forgot about that. And they said, oh, we can plant, and we can cultivate, and we can grow, and we can have increase of our own ability and of our own power. And so their own self-sufficiency had got them to the place where they were forgetting about God. And it was that very spirit that caused God to remove his hand from their life and from that nation. It was that very spirit that caused them to go into rebellion against a God that had favored them and worked in their life. It was that very spirit that had caused them to turn to false gods, and they begin to worship false gods. They just simply forgot about God. And I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, it is an epidemic in the modern church. There are too many people that feel like we can just get by without God. We're able to make things happen on our own. We'll pay the bill. We'll keep the light on. We'll still come to church. Even if God's not there, the doors will still be open. But how many knows? It's just a building with lights. It's just a building with pews. It's just a building with a PA. It's just a building with carpet. If God don't show up, it's not a church. I said, it's not a church. It's just a building. We've got to have God. We've got to remember that without him, we really can't do anything. They forgot God. They forgot God. The Bible said the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he seeth that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left. And he shall say, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted, which did eat the fat of their sacrifice and drink the wine of their drink offerings? Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. You see, what God said was this: in all of your self-sufficiency and pride, I'm going to allow trouble to come your way. I'm going to allow peril to come your way. I'm going to allow famine to come your way. I'm going to allow disaster to come your way. One calamity after the other was going to come their way, and it was going to cause them to realize we can no longer trust in the arm of flesh. We can no longer trust in these false gods. We've got to have God. And basically what God was saying, I'm going to look at them and say, where are you gods now? Where are those gods? Where's that rock in whom they trusted? Where's all those offerings? How are they benefiting you now? All of those offerings that you offered up to those false gods. And then he said, see now that I am he, and there is no God with me. I kill, I make alive, I wound, I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. You know what God was saying? You're under my hand of judgment. There's not a God you served that can help you now. My hand's going to weigh heavy on you. It's not a hand of blessing. It's going to be a hand of judgment. And all of those false gods that you carved out, all of those false gods that you chiseled out, not one of them is going to be able to help you. All of those false gods that you're running to, you can call, but they're not going to answer. They're not going to make a difference. There's only one God that's going to be able to help you. There's only one God that's going to be able to bring you out. Oh, I love that. I've heard about that for years. The old saint of God running and shouting, that ain't going to bother us. That's the kind of spirit that used to move. I'd like to get back to that, wouldn't you? But I want to tell you, my brother and sister, God said, I'm going to lay my hand heavy on you, and I'm going to get you to the place to where you're going to recognize one thing. Everything we've been trying ain't going to work. The only hope we've got is getting back to God. There ain't no power left. There ain't no ability left. There ain't no strength left. There's none. Shut up. We don't have anything in reserve anymore. Our power is gone. Our power is gone. There's nothing. Shut up. There's nothing left. We're looking in the barns and they're empty. We're looking in the fields and they're empty. We're looking everywhere we've had things stored and they're empty. There's nothing left. There's nothing left to do but cry out to God. And I tell you, brother and sister, there's a lot of reasons that we are in the shape that we're in. We've allowed ourselves to get here. We really have. The Holiness Church, we've had it so well. We've had it so good until we think we can get by without the Lord, and his hand is laying heavy on us. And brother and sister, he's trying to get us to the place where we realize we can't get it done without God. We don't have the power within ourselves to be the church. We've got to have God. We've got to have God. God said, I'm going to get you to the place to where you realize that. Where's your God now? Where's those gods now? Now that all this is happening, if they're so great, why can't they get you out? Oh, I'm telling you what, if money could bring revival, I tell you what most preachers would do. They'd empty their bank accounts if they had one. If money could do it, if talent could do it, I tell you what we'd do. We'd get trios and quartets and choirs, and we'd sing them every service. But talent won't do it. I said talent won't do it. We've got to have the power of Almighty God. And in this great time of calamity and distress and powerlessness, that's where the people of God were. I mean, they were facing captivity. They were facing destruction. Brother and sister, all of their self-sufficiency and pride could not help them now. God had got them to the place. He had so backed them into the corner where they realized the only one that can get us out is God. He's the only one that can help us now. And I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, there's a lot of things that men and women are trying to do to bring about revival in the church of the living God. The only thing that'll work is get God involved. I said the only thing that's going to work is to get God involved. Brother, there's never been an hour like you and I are facing. I was talking to an old dear man of God that I love so dearly. And I tell you what, I love older preachers. I really do. God's always, for whatever reason, I've always had a heart for old preachers. As a little boy, just a child, 5 or 6 years old, I remember going to camp meeting and seeing those old men of God, and I'd go stand by their tables. Mom and Dad wondering where I was. I was over there with the old preachers. I wasn't running around with the kids on the campground. Not saying there's anything wrong with it. I just loved old preachers. I always did. I remember standing by some of them. I remember just standing there listening to them talk. They didn't know who I was. And I remember them actually talking to me, but I just loved those old men of God. And I was talking to a dear old brother not too long ago. And I said, what is the difference? What is the problem? What is going on? I think I know, but I may not know. I may not have the answer, but I know you've seen revival. I know you've seen a move of God. What is the problem? And I can't quote everything word for word that he said, but he began to talk about the fact that it is such a different hour. It is a wicked day. It is a wicked hour. We're closer to the coming of the Lord than we've ever been. And our people have allowed themselves to get sucked in with the cares of this life to where everything is more important than revival. Everything is more important than church. And I'm not here to blast you. I'm not. I'm glad you're here. But the truth of the matter is, God didn't get us in the shape. Brother, there's a lack of revival in the Pentecostal holiness churches, and it's the church's fault. There's revival in other countries. Oh yeah, God's moving all over the globe, but it seems like in America we're struggling and we're suffering. I'll tell you what's happened. We've got so infiltrated with the cares of this life until we don't have time. But I'll tell you what, we're in a corner now. We realize it's time to make time. That's the only hope we've got is to recognize we've got to have God. We've got to have his power. Our own agendas and our own plans ain't going to get the job done. I'm tired of playing church. I'm tired of going through a form and a ritual. I'm ready for God to get involved once again so this sanctuary will become a modern day upper room. And the glory of God will be poured out again. They had forsaken God. Now they realize we can't do it without him. We cannot. Our power's gone. There's nothing anywhere. Man, we're pulling everything out we can and it ain't getting the job done. I'm telling you, folks, if the devil can, he'll get us so caught up in having little Pentecostal pep rallies, and we'll substitute that for real revival, Brother Joey. We really will. We'll have a little pep rally, and we'll feel good about ourselves, and give me a J, and give me an E, and an S, and somebody will get up there with, you know, and we'll walk out saying, boy, that's good, but it's not revival. I said, it is not revival. And I'll be honest with you, folks. You've heard folks say, I'm just racking my brains out. Well, I wish I could somehow convey that same thought with my heart, because I'm just trying to rend my heart and just figure out what can I do more. I want to do more. I want to have revival. I want to have a move of God. I don't want to just mark time. I don't want to just hold my own. I don't want to just hope we can maintain. I want to have a move of God. And I'd like to believe that every one of you are here tonight because that's what you want. You want to have revival. And I tell you what, I understand the feeling. I've heard, and I know it breaks your heart. I've heard different ones mention, man, I remember when this place was more full than it was empty. And I don't have all the answers, and I don't even know all the questions. I'm not here to figure out what or why or who or what's going on. That's not my business. And I want to tell you something. If allow it. The devil will overwhelm you with the thought of how empty this building is and make you feel like that it is useless and it is hopeless and we are wasting our time. But I want to tell you something. If we can somehow in this sanctuary tonight recognize that we have got to have the power of God and it will allow him to endue every one of us, it can change the destiny. It can change the course. We can have a move of God. We can have an old-fashioned camp meeting. I believe Brother Kinlaw talked about when he got saved, there wasn't even a dozen. There's about 10, I believe is what he said. I'm telling you what, you don't have to have a large number. I wish it was full. I wish it's full of sinners. I wish there were sinners here. I really do. Just like Brother Jerry preached this morning. But I tell you what, we can have revival. We can have camp meeting. We can get ourselves to the place where God so fills us. And do we, when we walk back here in the morning and we walk back in here tomorrow night, there's a change in the atmosphere. The word's already got out. Man, it's like it was 30 years ago. What do you mean? The crowd's big? Not really, but God moved. God moved. That's what we gotta have. That's what turns the tide. That's what changes destinies. I'm telling you, folks, I'm not discouraged with God. Oh, no. I'm not lost my faith in what God can do. I realize we're in trouble. I realize we're struggling. I realize we're doing all we can to hold our own. I realize we're gasping for breath. But also realize we're hoping in a God that does not fail. I said we're hoping and trusting in a God that does not fail. And when we get him back involved in what we're doing, we'll have an old-fashioned move of God. This calamity and this distress, everything that now is taking place is a direct result of a sovereign God at work in the life or the life of his wayward people in order to get their attention. Now they made a conscious decision, albeit perhaps gradually, to forsake and forget God. But now he said, I'm going to allow calamity and trouble to come their way to where they're going to look to me in their distress and recognize I am the only one that can help them out. And so he allows trouble to come their way. He allows calamity. He allows calamity, but he brings about a cure. He allows distress, but he brings about deliverance. He brings them to their knees, but he's willing to raise them up. He brings them to a state of powerlessness, but he says, I'm the one that's able to restore. And there's an interesting phrase, for the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he seeth that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left. Now that phrase, repent himself for his servants, is a very interesting phrase. It means an alteration of course or an alteration of the events of his providence. An alteration or a change of course in his manner of dealing. And you've got to understand that he is dealing with his people. He has sent calamity. He has sent judgment. Their back is against the wall. His hand is laying heavy on them. But all of a sudden he makes a promise. When I see just how powerless they are, when they're looking around and say there's nothing left, we know there's nothing we can do. We can't be any weaker than we are. We're on the verge of death and destruction. When he sees them in their lowest state, the writer says, when he seeth that their power's gone, that's when he's going to repent himself. That's when he's going to change the manner in which he is dealing with them. In other words, my brother and sister, my hand is laying heavy on my people. But when they begin to cry out and say, God, we recognize we brought this on ourselves. There's nothing we can do. We are powerless. us. We can't get ourselves up. We can't bring ourselves out. We cannot heal the brokenness that we're facing. There's nothing left we can do. We've got to have your help. When I see them in that state and in that condition and they're crying out to me, that's when I'm going to repent myself. That's when I'm going to turn things around. I tell you, brothers and sisters, that's what the Lord is longing to do for us. I couldn't help but think of a few psalms and a few scriptures. For instance, the Bible said, "The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me when I was brought low." In Psalm 66, "Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou brought us unto a wealthy place." What about this one? Psalm 126, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord had done great things for them." The Lord had done great things for us. Whereof we are glad. I want to tell you, folks, when God begins to turn it around, you'll not only know it, but the world will see it. The heathen will recognize it, and they'll begin to say, "There's the church we heard about. There's the church like it used to be." I'm telling you, folks, there's a God in heaven that's just waiting on us to cry out to him so he can turn things around. Oh God, we cannot do it on our own. We cannot do it on our own. Brothers and sisters, we've got to have the help of God. Our power seems to be at an all-time low in the church of the living God. But God will turn it around. God's not changed. And again, I'm not down on the church. And I don't feel like among you folks I have to balance every statement like that. But I do want to just say, I still believe God heals. I still believe in the miraculous. I still believe he sends revival. It just seems that we're at a low tide right now, doesn't it? The healings are few and far between. We're not seeing a harvest of souls come in. We're not seeing the results that we need to see. I'm not talking about a performance. I don't want to just go to church and say, "Boy, it's a good performance. We put on a good show." I want to have results. I want to see a powerful move of God to where lives are changed. I tell you, preaching's not a performance. Singing's not a performance. We've got to have the power of Almighty God. We've got to have him moving in our services to where people step back and say, "That was God. That was nothing but God working in the midst of his people." Oh, how we need a sovereign outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Oh, how we need to recognize our need. How we need to realize that God is the source of this power. And how we need to cry out once again and say, "God, we're empty. We're desperate. And we know that only you can turn things around for us." Listen to what is said in this chapter 32 of Deuteronomy. Listen to this. "They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begot thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten the God that formed thee." Now listen, I could almost hear the voice of God break and tremble as he says, "Of the rock that begot thee, thou art unmindful. You forgot the God that formed you." Oh, how God's heart must break. "You forgot me. You're not mindful of me." I'm telling you, folks, I don't want to be unmindful of him. I want to recognize him and cry out. You don't have to prove it. I already know we can't get it done without you. Whatever we are, whatever we do, whatever we accomplish, it's because of God. It's because of God. And I tell you, I don't know that I'll take time to read it all, but I know in the book of Isaiah, chapter 42, he said, I am the Lord. That is my name and my glory. Will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. I'm going to get you to the place to where when you come out, I'm going to get all the glory. I'm going to get you to the place to where when revival comes, it ain't going to be, well, that preacher preached the revival. That evangelist is the one that came by. You may not even remember his name, but you're going to know one thing. I brought revival because I'm not going to give my glory to another. I tell you what, I've heard those old time men of God. They pray that prayer when they're preaching. They'd say, hide me in the cross. Hide me behind the cross. A lot of us younger preachers, I don't know that we say that, but I've heard a number of old time men, hide me behind the cross. Oh God, help me to be hid. Help me to be hid. I don't want any of the glory. He's not going to give it to us. He's not going to give it to us. I remember, I don't know if I've ever shared this story here, but years ago when I was pastoring, there was a dear old saint of God that came down with a serious sickness. She wound up in the hospital, and she wound up in rehab and in the nursing home, and finally was able to come home, but she was never the same. And I remember after she come out of that nursing home, she would come to Monday. She was faithful to the house of God before, always. She was more faithful to visit revivals in the local area than any of us pastors were. I mean, she is always, she is faithful to home church, but if there's a revival in the area, when she wasn't at home church, she was at that. She was just faithful like that. She is faithful to prayer meeting on Monday night. So after she come out of the hospital, she was there at prayer meeting, and our church was kind of fan shaped. And the nursery, you could walk right out of the sanctuary through a door into the nursery. And her son-in-law and daughter had brought her to prayer meeting, and she had two grandkids that were there, and they were a little rowdy, so she had them trapped in the nursery. And she had her chair in the threshold right there at the nursery, and she was sitting there praying. And I was kind of walking on one of the back walls there, just praying and seeking the Lord. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost fell on Sister Glenda. And so I thought, well, I'm going to go over there and pray that God will just heal her. And I want to tell you, Brother Joey, she began to speak in tongues. And when I got aware, she was already speaking in tongues. And I laid my hands on her, and the power of God fell like I have rarely experienced in my life. It fell so strong, I staggered. I feel that I'd have fell to the floor if I hadn't have fell against the wall. And I literally began to lean on the wall and cry. And the Holy Ghost fell. And I was speaking in tongues, but I was weeping. And in my mind, I thought, God, you must be healing Sister Glenda right now. It wasn't audible, but if God ever spoke to my spirit, he thundered in my spirit as soon as I said, God, you must be healing Sister Glenda. He said that who may receive the glory. And when he asked me that question, I began to cry uncontrollably. I went to my knees and I cried aloud. I said that you may receive the glory. And I heard him thunder in my spirit. He said, too many are robbing me of my glory. I want to tell you, that's where we are. We've got too many that's robbing him of his glory. Who's going to build the church? I tell you who the architect, the one that started it on this rock. I will build my church. I tell you what, who's going to bring revival? The only one that ever has. I said the only one that ever has. I tell you what I'd like to have. God knows my heart. I'd like to have such an outpouring of the Holy Ghost at this camp meeting. I know everyone's somebody ask you, who was the speaker? I can't even tell you. All I can tell you is God came down. God came down. It doesn't matter who the speakers are. We gotta have God. I said we gotta have God. I don't want any of the glory. I'm too desperate for revival to touch any of it. Oh God, we need your power. I'm not going to allow my glory to be diminished by sharing it with somebody else. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Because man can't do it, but God can. And I want to tell you something, folks. I'm not that old. I just celebrated 40 on Groundhog's Day. Yeah. If it's up to me, our winters would be very short. I can just tell you, raised on the coast of Mississippi and now living in Virginia, I'd never been in below zero weather until this year. I didn't like it. Global warming, nothing. You got to be crippled too high for crutches to believe that. Global warming, zero. Okay, enough. Got a little distracted. But I want to tell you something, folks. I'm 40, but I can remember the power of God being poured out. And I don't understand everything. Are you taping me? Are they taping me? Yeah, pause that, brother. Pause that. I had no idea I was going to say this, but just pause that. It'd be better. I can remember in my fellowship that I was raised up in. I can remember youth rallies. Standing room only. Okay? Standing room only. I can remember that. In fact, it's just the way it was. I can remember the power of God falling. I was 10 years old. Wilmer, Alabama. Fairview Holiness Church. It's not even in existence anymore. Robert Malone preaching on, "You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire." He preached on the Holy Ghost and fire. And I was sitting in the center aisle in a wooden folding chair when the Holy Ghost fell in that place. And I thought for sure I heard a still small voice speak to me and say, "I'll use you in the ministry one day." And I went home and I was crying. I told my mom, I said, "I think I heard the Lord say he was going to use me in the ministry." I was 10 years old. I never said another word about it for 7 years. But it was in a move of God like that. I can remember as a child going to some of those churches that was on red clay roads out in the middle of nowhere being packed out. Packed out. I remember them casting a devil out as just a child. The power of God falling. And when I look back, my brothers and sisters, it was like everybody was there for the same reason, just to have church. And I was raised in Moss Point, Mississippi, little church, wood floors, wood pews. And at 5 years old, I got under conviction and went to an altar. And that church is still there, not a holiness church anymore. Wound up closing it and shutting it down. I could take you within probably a foot of where I knelt at 5 years old. Gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. Five rows back, standing right here beside my dad on a cold February night at 8 years old. Just standing there worshiping the Lord. The Holy Ghost fell on me. And I went through to the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And shouted and spoke in tongues for over an hour. I remember that. I can remember before that, folks. And I can remember the power of God falling in that church and everybody just be rejoicing and shouting. And I'd just join in, Brother Joey. 5, 6, 7 years old, I'd run the aisle because everybody else was shouting. And if I didn't, I'd be the only one standing there. And I can't say that I ran the aisle under the power of God. But I feel like I was running it, wanting it. My motive was right. And I remember my dad. He was raised Methodist. I remember, I couldn't have been 6 years old. I can remember him going up for prayer. And a Church of God preacher by the name of Ron Harper. And our pastor, Brother Adams, laying hands on him. And him falling out like a log, like a piece of timber, just as stiff. And I can see it, just he fell at an angle and went right under the pew. And I remember thinking, next time I run, I've got to fall out. Yeah, I remember. And next time I ran, I fell out. And I said all that to say this. I learned that. A desire began to be cultivated in my heart while the Spirit was moving. That's what captivated my young heart. And there probably was times between the ages of 5 and 8 that I probably ran in the church just because everybody else was running and shouting. But at 8 years old, there was a night when I got filled up with what was making them act the way they acted. And I said all of that to say this. My brother and sister, it was that power of God that attracted me. I said it was that. Am I still off back there? Now I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something. I've went back through the years and preached youth camps and preached homecomings and preached revivals and preached youth rallies. And I want to tell you, you can't even hardly get all the pastors there, much less the church. And the only thing I can figure is we got too many men interested in building their own kingdom rather than the kingdom of God. And that's why we're in trouble. I said, that's why we're in trouble. Well, I want to have the best youth rally at my church. I want to have the best move of God. And so when they go to somebody else's, they sit on the back row with their arms full. I've seen it. I'm telling you, folks, I have seen it. I have seen it. And it is ridiculous. I said, it is ridiculous. Man, I'm telling you what, we need to get over ourselves, don't we? And we need to cry out. And I'm not saying you at all like this. I don't feel that. Those of you that I've been around, I don't sense that. But I'm telling you what, there are some problems that we just need to get over and go beyond because we need God to help us. I said, we need God to help us. And you can turn it back on if you want to. This probably ain't even worth recording. But I tell you, Brother Joey, whenever I started, meeting you and getting around you and Brother Chambers, one thing they said was, it ain't no competition. Ain't no competition. And they were just echoing what I already felt. I never felt like when I was preaching youth camps or camp meetings as I was in some kind of competition to out-preach some other man. I never, Brother Jerry, I want to tell you something. If you're up there preaching, I need you to preach good. I need you to get anointed. Oh, man. When Brother Yates gets up there this morning, he gets up there, I need him. It ain't going to help me if he struggles. No, I need him to get anointed. I need him. Oh, I need God to use him. I need God to speak through him. I'm telling you, brother, it doesn't help our ministry if somebody else's ministry is suffering or somebody else's ministry is struggling. It doesn't make me a better preacher if somebody else ain't getting anointed. I'll never forget one of my deacons came to me because he was bothered by the attitude of some of the people in the church. He said, I'm telling you, Brother Switzer, you're not taller just because you're standing on somebody else. And that's true. I said, we're not taller. We need one another. filled. We need one another to be filled. We need our ministers to have the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you what we are. Let me tell you what we are. We are laborers together with the Lord. That's what we are. That's the only way we can get it done. I can't build a church without him. I can't have revival without him. We can't have a camp meeting without him. But we are laborers together with the Lord. I'll tell you what, when Brother Jerry and Brother and Sister Smith are up here leading these songs, I want them to get anointed. I want the Holy Ghost to fall on this choir. When Brother Glenn is up here leading this service, I want God to direct him. I want God to use him. I'm telling you, when they're up here taking the offering, I want them to get anointed. When the special singers, I want them to get anointed to sing. We've got to have God. I'm here to tell you, folks, it's not by might nor by power. If it was, we'd get it done. But it's by his Spirit. We've got to have the power of God. We've got to have. I need you to be anointed. Labors together. Working in the vineyard. Oh God. For the power of God to be made manifest in our midst like never before. I tell you what I'd like to see him do. I'd like to see him fall in such a way to where we know it's God. And folks, I want to tell you something. There's nowhere else to turn. We have ran out of options tonight. So we have ran out of options. We need God. Everywhere you go, we need God. I tell you, I've not preached among your churches. I've preached for Brother Powell, and I've preached for Brother Ivy. But I'm telling you, you may say, well, we right here, we need God. It's everywhere. Everywhere we need God. We're struggling. We need God, and we are running out of options. And this power is a must. And that's what drew me as a young child. That's what drew me. I'd watch those men of God. I couldn't have been more than 6 years old. I'll never forget. Never had a clue I'd marry into the family. But that old brother Ralph Horton, he was preaching there at that old camp meeting. And he got so anointed. He got so anointed, I'll never forget it. And I remember crazy things. I remember him standing there on that banister, or sitting on that banister, and the power of God was falling in that place, and he's trembling under the Holy Ghost, and he's shaking, and he's stomping just like he is, and he's sitting on that banister, and he's going back and forth, and he's saying, it's just as good over here as it is right here. He said, I don't even know what side I want to stand on right now. He was under such an anointing of the Holy Ghost. He wasn't saying anything profound. He wasn't saying anything eloquent. I'm not against. I believe in study. I'm just telling you, the power of God was on him in such a way until he didn't need to say anything. It was just all God. And in essence, he was saying, I'm at a loss. I don't even know what to do. And I want to tell you, he never got any further than just going back and forth over that banister saying, it's as good on this side as it is over here. The power of God swept that place. I said, the power of God swept that place. I cannot tell you his title. I cannot tell you the text that he preached from. But I do remember the demonstration. That's the point that I'm trying to make. I remember the demonstration of the power of God. And it was Paul that said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the power and the Spirit, that your faith would not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I say, let's put our faith and confidence back
in the power, my God. Let's get our faith back in the power. And once we get our faith back in the power of God, there'll be a demonstration. He's going to rend the heavens. He's going to come down. He's going to move in our midst once again. Is there anybody here that's ready for the power of God to come down? Oh, let's raise our hands and give him praise and glory. Oh, let's really take a moment. I'm really not done, but I feel like right now would be the time for us to stand and raise our hands and say, Oh God, I want your power. I want your power. I want your power. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost. And not before. I said, not before. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Is there anybody that wants the Holy Ghost to come upon them? I'm telling you, you'll receive the power. I said, you'll receive the power. You'll receive the power. That's what we've got to have. It's a demonstration. Oh, God.
We know what to do, don't we? Here we are. Here we are. And we know what to do. I tell you what I think, folks. I look around. A little scattered. You know where we're sitting. But I tell you what, there's one place that can bring us together. And it's this altar. And if it would be possible for everyone that can to move this direction, we probably can't all kneel, but as many as possible that could stand, and those of you that can, if you'd come up and sit, and we'd come up here and cry out to God. He's moving among us. He's here. He's here. And this is the thing. I don't want to just push this as a preacher running and shouting and jumping around, because I want God to have his way. He can do it without me being a cheerleader right here. And I believe that's what he wants to do. But I believe he wants us to come out and move in this direction. And let us get lost in his presence and in his power. God wants to turn it around. That's what he wants. He wants to turn it around. He wants us to have a demonstration of his power. A demonstration of his power. A demonstration of his power. Oh, God. Oh, God.